You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
There was a period of time in my life, and maybe it was the case for some of you, that during the months of September through November, life was absolutely taken over by my primary extracurricular activity, the high school band. If it wasn't the Friday night football games, it was the early Saturdays getting ready for competitions, parades that were all over Southern California. Now, most of us during that time, in that place, and in that school took band very seriously. We were a competitive bunch, and we considered it a failure to earn anything less than a first place in our division. We rehearsed 3 hours a day. Our director required us to be there at 7 a.m. every morning before school began. And then he managed on the master schedule to get the band period scheduled right before lunch, which meant he had an extra hour of rehearsal during the lunch period for us. And then we also had Tuesday night rehearsals and Thursday night rehearsals. We memorized all of our music every week. It was an intense experience, but it produced, in that particular school at that time, quite an organization and quite a tradition that accompanied it. And it wasn't just about the music and the marching. How we looked and what we presented was equally as important. So I still remember to this day that you had to spend hours polishing your black shoes and cleaning the white spats, because every time you wore them, they got skid marks all over it. Guys were allowed no facial hair, and your hair had to be trimmed above the collar on your band uniform. And you went through inspection every single week to make sure you complied, down to the point of the pant lengths of everybody in the band had to be checked to make sure that they were a uniform 2 inches off the ground. My parents were part of the inspection squad. They were absolutely ruthless. And there was more than one time when hair was trimmed, much to the dismay of the recipient of the emergency haircut. Now, I'm really not sure any of this would fly in this day and age. I'm not sure what really goes on in our high school bands anymore. But friends, you did all the work because you wanted to make sure that you stood out, that you were noticed from the pack. The way your unit looked, the music you performed, and the impact you made for that few minutes that you were in competition, well, that created a reputation. And that reputation, for good or for bad, we found out and learned, could impact the judging. So there was a lot of work that went into the parade. It was not laissez-faire. It was very intentional. And to this day, I can still remember the reputation of certain superstar bands. It just sticks with you all these years later. Their participation in those parades, the way they looked, the way they sounded, the impression they made, well, it's still with me till this day. Now, this concept of a parade is something that goes far back in our human culture. Empires understood the value of parading, of making a point through pageantry and by marching the troops and showing their weapons and other symbols of power. They knew that this kept order and it had an impact upon the people. The Empire of Rome understood and knew this. So it would make perfect sense that the persons who lived in first century Jerusalem had seen these displays of power. The parade helped to make sure that the people understood their place and that there was no doubt about who was in charge. And when you think about it, that kind of parading happens to this day. There are displays of power to remind people who are in charge, whether it be a May Day parade in Russia or the type of parade that's being talked about in Washington, D.C. for this year. Competing powers. Well, the operators in the Roman Empire understood that these displays could keep people in check. And that, friends, was the context for this odd celebration, this odd kind of parade that happened in Jerusalem, the parade that we remember this morning, that gathering, that march that took place before the celebration of Passover, far, far back in our time and in our memory. And we know with that parade, there were no chariots. There were no trumpets. There were no banners, no fanfares. There were no uniforms. There were no spears or other weapons. There really was no pageantry. In many respects, it was the anti-parade. An itinerant rabbi and his followers were coming to town. Now, while the gospel writers suggested that there was already a reputation that preceded Jesus, we're really not sure because they wrote after the fact. So was this an expected event, or was it some impromptu decision? And given what's been written by the gospel writers, I would say that there was a pretty good chance it was much more the later, impromptu, not something that had been carefully prepared. In fact, it was probably the complete opposite of careful preparation. You see, this anti-parade focused on Jesus. Jesus, who said to some of his followers, "Go find a colt that I can ride on the back." And so as he was proceeding into the city, the story is told that people threw down their cloaks upon the ground. These weren't fine banners or fine flags or anything. They threw their cloaks on the ground. And they grabbed whatever branches they could find to wave at this little posse as it came walking in to Jerusalem. And this has been referred to very poetically by so many through the centuries as the triumphant entry. But was it? Was it a triumphant entry? Was it? From the positions of power, from those who had power, this probably looked more like a joke or a parody than anything else. But maybe, friends, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to do with his entry. It was not about triumph, but it was about suggesting that there was going to be a new ordering of things. His message, as we well know, was not one of empire and domination. It was just the opposite. Instead of fealty to the empire, Jesus preached loving God. Instead of organizing to dominate, Jesus gave instruction on the importance of loving neighbor as self. No, his was not a parade of power, but one of humility. It was also, friends, a kind of parade that in its simple, simple way presented a profound challenge to the religious leaders, if their responses as the week unfolded were any indicator. Perhaps Jesus was making the statement that it is often the most unlikely that creates the possible. Some of you may have remembered years ago those posters during the Vietnam War, when people were demonstrating for peace, the picture of a gun and a person sticking a daisy into the end of the gun. I think that's what this Palm Sunday event was about. Jesus, in simplicity, was challenging the power in a most profound way. It wasn't a violent way that he chose to enter Jerusalem. It was a quiet but determined way. And friends, I don't think it's any different for us today, because we know that sometimes the only way you can really confront injustice
is to band together, as friends across the country were banding together yesterday to protest gun violence in our nation. Sometimes the way to change is to not meet it with brute force, but to take Jesus' approach of this anti-parade. And so we find ourselves once again, friends, entering into this Holy Week when competing forces and human weakness create drama beyond our imagination. We're entering once again into a week where the path ultimately leads up the hill to Golgotha and the cross. And we're going to have an opportunity now to encounter some of the portions of Scripture of the events that happened after Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And through narration, and through dance, and through reading, I ask each of us to sit back and to reflect on the events of that week and how, for that time, everything seemed to get out of control. But fortunately, friends, we're on the other side, that we know that there was an outcome to that sense of being out of control. But for the people that are faithful followers of Jesus, I think it is critically important for us each and every year to remember that week where things did not turn out as expected, that week that literally changed our world. So be it.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.